Important dates in Christian history. 1545. The Council of Trent opens. Called by the Roman Catholic Church in response to the Reformation, it addressed abuses in the Catholic Church and further entrenched dogmas concerning the authority of the Pope, the need for works in salvation, and the saving nature of the Mass. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Alrighty, here, where am I? Okay, I'll tell you where I am. I'm at the Fuller E. Calloway Jr. Manufacturing Research Center building. You know what that means, don't you? Fuller E. Calloway Jr. had a lot of money to give away. Okay, wow. I don't like the building, Fuller. I'm sorry. This is one of those modern buildings. If you've ever been to Scotland, you go down the Royal Mile. It's old Scotland. It's just nothing but these old buildings. And down below is the Queen's Castle. I can't remember which one it was, but that's the one she was at, I think, when the news of Princess Di dying hit her. And she was in that gorgeous castle that's there. And right across the street is the hideous science museum, almost built like a poke in the eye, just a modernistic poke in the eye to traditional things. And the Fuller E. Calloway Jr. Manufacturing Research Center building is pretty much like that. Will these ever look good? Have you ever seen a building built in the 70s? Of course you have, because you remember it. It just screams 70s building. They're hideous. And they don't age or date very well. And the same thing is true with these kind of modern buildings. Will this ever look good to anybody? Young man, while you're walking, can I talk to you? Wow, sir, that's very formal. What's your first name, young man?
Matt.
Matt, nice to meet you. That's a Bible name, you know.
Yes, sir.
What does it mean?
It's actually after Matthew, one of the 12 apostles.
Uh-huh. So you must be a Christian.
Yes, sir.
You are. Here's what I'd like you to do, Matthew. Okay. I'm not asking you to put me on a rack or to torture me or to club me and force me into believing whatever you believe, okay? No. I'm asking you to convert me to your religion. Would you do that for me, Matt?
I don't know. Do you want me to?
Absolutely.
All right, well, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins?
No.
All right, well, you put me on the spot here. I really don't know how I could do that.
Well, let's see. I think you called me without trying to call me it. I think you called me a sinner.
If you want to take it that way.
Well, I'm kind of putting two and two together here.
Okay.
If Jesus died for my sins, that if I've sinned, then I must be a sinner.
Okay.
All right? Prove it. Prove that I'm a sinner.
Wow. I don't know. You put me on the spot. I don't know how I can do that.
All right. Use the Ten Commandments on me.
All right. Have you ever lied before?
Good one. Yes, I have, as a matter of fact.
Have you ever stolen anything before?
Yes, sir. I've done that, too.
Okay. Trying to think of one. Obviously, I hope you haven't murdered anybody.
No.
Okay.
I've said some pretty nasty things. Does that count?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So okay. I guess I've murdered
have
it in my
put
heart.
Idols before God?
Meaning?
Have you made anything more important in your life that you center your life around it, I guess?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. I actually don't have all 10 memorized, so I feel...
Oh, that's 4 of them. I guess that would make me a sinner, wouldn't it?
Well, I hope you haven't committed adultery, so that's the 5th one, right?
But what if I've lusted in my heart?
Oh, okay. Alright.
Yeah. That would be adultery of the heart, wouldn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Even if I'm not married, that would be adultery of the heart, wouldn't it?
I don't know all of them.
All right. But that'll do. That's 5 of them, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm a sinner. So aren't I just like everybody else?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, do I really need to worry about it? Everybody else is a sinner, too.
Everybody should be worried about it.
Why should they be worried?
Because...
So what if we're sinners?
Well, if you have not accepted Christ in your heart, you're going to hell, so...
Why?
Because God sent Christ to this earth to free us of our sins, and he died on the cross for us so that we are able to go to heaven if we believe in him in our heart.
Okay, and if I don't have my sins forgiven, what happens to me?
Then you go to hell.
Huh. For breaking those laws.
Exactly.
Okay, so suddenly I'm interested in Jesus all of a sudden.
Okay.
Okay, who is he?
He is the Son of God.
Okay. And he did what exactly?
He died on the cross for our sins.
Uh-huh. All right, so am I good to go?
If you accept Jesus into your heart,
I don't know what that means.
Savior.
What does that mean?
If you admit that you're a sinner and believe that he's your Lord and Savior and confess that he is, then you're a Christian.
That sounds like repentance to me.
Exactly.
So I need to repent. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I say I'm sorry, I turn from my sins, and I put my trust in Jesus. Then what happens?
Then you can become a Christian.
That's it, huh?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you've done that?
Yes, sir.
When did you do that?
It's about 4 or 5 years ago.
How old are you today?
I am 18.
18 years old, so about 14?
Yes, sir.
All right. So has your life been radically different since you were 14?
It's been pretty different, I'll admit that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So have you been living like a Christian for 4 years?
I've tried to. I'll admit that I'm not the best, but I've tried to.
When was the last time you read your Bible?
Last Sunday.
At church?
Yes.
Okay, take church out of it. When was the last time you read your Bible all by yourself?
Oh, it's been a long time.
Really?
Yes, sir. I'll admit, I've put that off. I really need to get back into doing that, but I couldn't tell you the last time.
Do you have a girlfriend by any chance?
No, I do not.
Have you ever had a girlfriend?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If you wrote a bunch of letters to your girlfriend and she never read them, what would you think about her feelings toward you?
I'd be pretty hurt.
Pretty hurt, yeah.
And I'd think that she doesn't care, so.
Righto. And you don't read your Bible?
I see where we're going with that.
Yeah. Here's a tricky word for you.
Okay.
This Jesus of yours, is he precious to you?
Yes.
So if I gathered all your friends together and I said, tell me what is the most important thing in Matthew's life, they would say Jesus.
Some of them.
Some? What would the others say?
It's a tough one. I guess it has to be school right now.
Yeah. All right. So you're sure though you've repented and put your trust in Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Cool. All right. I happen to be a Christian, by the way.
Okay.
I hope that wasn't deceptive. I was just wanting to hear how you might try to convert me.
Okay.
See if you had your theological ducks in a row. This was very helpful for me and very very convicting for me. No Bible, no breakfast. If I've got time to eat food in the morning, I've got time to feed my soul.
Oh, okay.
God's word feeds us, and it keeps us planted like a tree by a river so that we are always nourished and we don't wobble in the wind. And if I got time to feed my face, I've got time to read God's word.
Okay.
So I kind of lost the excuse of I'm just too busy, because when I went to eat and I hadn't read my word, it was like, oh. You got to get on that and do the thing that's more important. So maybe that'll convict you too. All right? No Bible, no breakfast, no read, no feed. Because Job said he esteemed God's word more than his daily food. It was more important than that. Because, dude, how long have you been going to school here?
I'm actually a freshman, so.
All right.
Since August.
Okay, so you've been going for a few months. So you know already the temptations that are here.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the computer alone is a potential black hole for you. Women, drugs, whatever it is that's here. And dude, if you don't feed yourself, you're going to go down. All right? So make sure you do what most kids here aren't doing, and that is getting that word, because I'm telling you, you don't want to be a statistic, and you don't want to spend the rest of your life living with really nasty regrets.
That's true.
All right? Hey, pleasure to meet you, young
thank
man.
Thank you.
Thanks very,
thank
much.
Very much.
Okay, see you, Matthew. Goodbye. Would you please think about, you don't have to do this, because nobody should be pistol whipped into doing something, but would you please think about a campus ministry? Matthew here, nice kid, boy, I wish you could see his face. Woofta! I wish you could see his face. Willing to listen to a guy like me, complete stranger, and clearly could use a little prod here, a little push there, a little teaching there, some encouragement along the way. And those types of kids are on the campus too. Now, overall, you run into heathens when you're out here. Wow, is this building ugly? I'm telling you. Whew, different side, same ugly. There's a lot of heathens on the college campuses, but there are some young people here who are at least church going. They're, you know, who knows whether they're genuinely saved or not. You hope that they are, but they sure could use some mentoring, some helping, some, what's that word I'm looking for? Oh, yes, discipling. And so you could come to a campus and you could be witnessing to the heathens and you could be discipling those who are saved because they need it. I'm telling you, they get sent here, and we've seen the statistics. I think we would agree if they backslide that dramatically, they never slid forward in the first place. But the statistics are horrifying for the kids here. They end up taking a spiritual dive bomb, and they go into the prodigal son pigsty and do terrible things and then live with terrible regrets. So maybe, just maybe, if you have a heart for the kids, it's something that you can do. You want to think about a campus ministry because there's an awful lot of kids. No matter who you walk by, they're either saved or not saved, and either one could use you. So why don't you think about it? It is Witness Wednesday. We're at Georgia Tech. It's Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, you're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical, but on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, you're going to find something rare. Intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. No truth bombs without love, no sugar coating without substance, just a balanced biblical approach to the tough questions you're facing every day. Emotions aren't meant to be ignored, but they're also not meant to rule you. Boundaries aren't the answer, but neither is blind trust. And feminism, it's not about equality anymore, it's about dethroning God. If you're tired of the empty words and the shallow advice, it's time for something better. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. No platitudes, no nonsense, just the truth wrapped in wisdom. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Irenaeus was an apologist and disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of the Apostle John. He served as the Bishop of Lyon and wrote against heresies, a refutation of Gnosticism and Docetism, in which he demonstrated the coherence and necessity of the Incarnation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are at Georgia Tech trying to encourage young people to convert me, because I think, and we've heard this clearly, haven't we? Nobody's willing to ever try to convert anybody, because it's just not nice. And I can't help but think, a la Screwtape letters, that this has been a brilliant plan by the devil to use it as this way to not have to evangelize. Because let's face it, it's scary, is it not, to evangelize? And to have any sort of escape mechanism, we're inclined to take it because, well, we'd rather not, but we have to. Let's see if this young man will talk to me. Excuse me, young man, may I talk to you on the radio while you're walking to wherever you're going?
Sure.
Where are you from?
Vietnam.
Vietnam?
Yeah.
Really? I'm curious. What's it like there?
It's kind of poor.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
But it's getting better now.
Is it? Why is it getting better, do you think?
I have no idea.
What's the economy? What's the political system? Socialist, communist?
Just communist.
Communist. Yeah. Do you think that's maybe why it's poor there?
I think so.
What is the religion there?
Buddhism.
Yeah.
Catholic.
Yeah.
And another couple kind of religion. I have no idea.
What are you?
I'm Buddhism.
You're a Buddhist?
Yeah.
Terrific. Would you do me a favor? Tell me, why should I consider becoming a Buddhist? Would you do that for me?
I have no idea about that. My family is religious, but not me. I'm in the family, but I'm not.
So
really,
you grew up maybe kind of Buddhist, but not so much these days.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. So you have you tried to figure out what religion is true?
No, because I think every religion is good for everybody, I think, because they teach you how to do stuff right and how to treat the people good. I think that's all.
Okay, but do you think that all religions are true?
Yeah.
But they're also different. How can they all be true?
I don't know. They believe in different goddess, but the main point is they teach the people how to live right and how to treat the people good.
Well, I'm just trying to think. Okay, I can think of one religion where that isn't the main point. Christianity, I don't think that's the main point of Christianity. I'm a Christian, and I don't think that's the main point of Christianity.
Actually, I'm not interested in religion, so that's why... That's why I'm just not pay attention on how many religion do we have around or what they doing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure about that.
What it teaches? Yeah, the Christianity isn't about teaching us so much how to live. It's more about how to be reconciled. Do you know what that word means, reconcile?
Yeah.
How to be reconciled to God. That's more about what Christianity is about. Because Christianity teaches, and I think you would agree, man has a problem. Man has a problem in that we have done things that are wrong. We've done things that are bad. And if God judges us based on how we've been living, we are going to be in big trouble, because he's holy and he's perfect and he's righteous and he's just. And if he gave every man what we deserved, we'd be in big trouble. And so Christianity goes about teaching how we can be reconciled to this God who is mad at sinners. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Sometimes. Yeah, not all the time.
Not all the time. All right. What are you doing those other times? What's going on? Let me ask you, how many lies do you think you've told in your life?
What do you mean, how many lies?
Yeah, lies. Untruths. You've been dishonest.
Oh. A lot.
A lot?
Yeah, when I was young.
Okay. Yeah. How many things do you think you've stolen in your lifetime?
No.
Downloading music, maybe?
No, I haven't.
No? Good for you?
Yeah.
How's about something just taking candy from your siblings or money your parents, but
no,
nothing
I
ever.
I haven't. I haven't stolen anything.
Good for you.
Because that really strict in my family. if we stole anything from anyone, it doesn't matter in family or outside of the family.
That's big trouble.
The big punishment.
All right. I think I got one for you, though. Lusting. Do you know what lusting is?
Yeah.
How many times a day do you think you do that? We'll leave it at that. Okay.
Not how many times, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say that if God judged you for everything that you've done, all the bad things, mm-hmm. all the times when you weren't being good and you were being bad, mm-hmm. whatever those things are, mm-hmm. and add to that the things that you haven't done, like thank him, you haven't been grateful for food, clothing, family, an education, all the things that he's done, providing air for you to breathe. If he judged you, would he find you to be a good person or a guilty person?
I think half and half.
Half and half.
Yeah.
Well, but doesn't guilt mean that you are a bad person?
I don't think I'm a bad person. Yeah, but I'm not really sure that I'm a good person.
Well, imagine a criminal who is standing before a judge. And let's say he broke the law, let's call it 12 times. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, judge, I'm not always breaking the law. Sometimes I do good things. What would the judge say to him? You're guilty.
Yeah, he is guilty. That's against the law.
See, that's our problem right there. Okay? We're guilty.
Yeah, I think we are.
Yeah, we all are.
Yeah.
And that's what Christianity tries to address. How can we be made right with the God who's mad at us because we're guilty of breaking his laws? That's the big issue in Christianity.
What is your religion?
I'm a Christian.
You're a Christian?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, before you wander away, uh-huh. so you have something to think about as you try to figure out what is true, because that's the important thing. There's a lot of religions out there, but the question is, which one is true? Because they teach different things. They can't all be true because they contradict each other. Buddhism teaches that when you die, if you are good, you'll be reincarnated to a higher level.
Yeah.
And then ultimately...
I think the Christian is the same thing, right?
Nope.
No?
Nope, no reincarnation. Nope.
You don't believe in that?
Not reincarnation.
Oh.
You die one time, you get judged one time.
That's it?
That's it. Yep.
So what you going to be after you die? Nothing.
No, we've got a spirit. We've got a body, uh-huh. and we've got a spirit. And our body's going to stay in the ground at least for a while.
Yeah.
And our soul, we will be judged by God for how we've lived on earth. And the books will be opened up on our lives, and God will judge us for everything that we've done. And if you are found to be guilty, he's got to punish you, and he'll send people to hell. But he's a good God, and he's a kind God, and he wants to save you, and he wants mm-hmm. to save me, and this guy right behind us. He wants to save it.
So you going to stay up there?
Well, here's why, though. Not because I've done more good than you. That's not why. Because I've done more sins than you have. But the gospel...
Not really.
Oh, I'm guessing. Trust me on this. But the gospel says that God is just, and he is good, and he did something so that you and I don't have to go to hell. He sent his son, who is fully God, Jesus Christ. That's where we get Christianity from, Christ and Christianity. Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, to take the punishment that you and I deserve, to die on a cross. Have you ever heard that story? Jesus dying on a cross?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, dying on a cross. What was happening there was sort of like a court case. You've broken God's laws, but Jesus was paying your fine for you. God's anger was being poured out on him on your behalf so that you could be forgiven of your sins and go to heaven, not because you're a good man, but because you're a bad man who's been forgiven by a good God. And that way everybody can point to Jesus for forever and say, wow, he is amazingly kind. He died for sinners. No God has ever done that. He's the only true God, and he died for you and me, that we could be reconciled to God and go to heaven because of what he's done. No reincarnation. Live once, die once, get judged once. That's
Got
the
you.
Good news.
All right. Now I talk to you.
Goodbye. Yeah, man. See you. Nope. Didn't get to repentance and faith. But he had to walk away. Well, I guess he didn't have to, but he chose to. He did listen, though. Now, I didn't get to say repentance and faith. Does that mean he's going to hell? No, and here's why. Because if he understands the law, if he understands his guilt, if he understands that he's going to be judged, if he understands that Jesus died for him, a sinner, then the right response is repentance and faith. So while we love to proclaim it and explain it, because there's a fair amount of confusion out there, an individual who is being converted by God is going to respond that way. Because that's the natural response. And it's a response to his kindness. Not a response to his wrath, but a response to his kindness. Just like anybody who had wronged somebody, when they understood that somebody's kindness, you don't need to tell them to say they're sorry. You don't need to tell them to never do it again. They'll just do it because it is the right response. So, all we can do is proclaim it. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.